Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Wake me up when September ends.
You don't want the quarterback to be able to clear leather. You don't want him to be able to get that ball out of his hand and throw the football. That time, that pressure created that errant throw, that throw away right there. And we'll see if they do it on.
Of eight and sack number 107 for Miller. Fake to Gordon. Bridgewater to the goal line and Patrick. And a touchdown to take the lead for the Broncos. Bridgewater keeps dancing in the backfield. Ogunleye-Benon's got it. Stays on his feet. Looks for the pylon. Touchdown! A second effort on fourth down from Albert Ogunleye-Benon. His second career score. Elgin Gordon looking for a big run. There goes Melvin Gordon. Turn it on, the afterburner is being chased. And all the way to the house. 70-yard touchdown.
Oh, so good. Adam Amin and some other guy on the call there on Fox as the Denver Broncos. Oh, so good.
We're back.
When's the parade? It's a Reaction Monday following a big Broncos victory as they get the W, the big W, the must-win W in the season opener in New York, 27-13 over the Giants. And our man, Mark Schlereth, was on the call. Great job, partner. Great, great job.
I appreciate it, buddy. Had a blast out there in New York. A lot of fun to have fans back in the stands. Man, you know what? Again, like I told you, when I was calling a game last year, didn't really notice it because we've got the crowd noise pumping in our ears and everything else. But I got to tell you, man, what a difference it makes for the players, the energy. Talking to some of the players on the field before the game, they were just like, dude, it was so sterile out there last year. And they were so excited. I think the players were more excited to have fans back in the stands than the fans were to be back in the stands. And so it was an amazing experience. It was a ton of fun to call the game. I tell you what, Bronco fan in New York showed out. There were a ton of orange jerseys. And at the end of that game, in the fourth quarter, there was no blue in the stands. It was just nothing but orange. And it was cool, man. People were underneath the booth, like taking pictures. Mark, stay. And I mean, it was all Bronco fans. It was a really cool environment toward the end of that game.
Well, I think you called it. Benny, can you go find our predictions from Friday? Cause I think Mark, I mean, like pretty much nailed it, the score. And you thought this could be a comfortable win for the Broncos. It was. So how'd they do it? How did they not only win, but make it look pretty routine in doing it?
Well, I think number one, they just absolutely dominated and controlled the clock. And I have to tell you, you know, I think every one of us as analysts on this station said it was Teddy Bridgewater and it wasn't close, the competition. And then pretty much all the hosts thought, well, it was Drew Locke because of some big plays we saw. What you saw in that game is a guy that was so cool under pressure, understood where his issues were and avoided them and did not make the big mistake. He made some big plays and he had that Kamler or that KJ Hamler, you know, long touchdown ball that he threw that was amazing, that Hamler dropped, but the guy was just, you want to just talk about being steady. That's exactly. And that calming force for the rest of the team. We talked about this a bunch over training camp, Mike. You know, it's not only that calm force, that veteran presence, everything like that, but it's also Teddy Bridgewater's ability to take a bunch of young offensive players and help them learn this game, you know, at an adequate level. So I think all those things were true at once. And, you know, talking to the coaches, talking to Pat Shurmur before the game, it was apparent that that really is, you know, what we were talking about as analysts. That really was the way the Broncos thought about this.
Well, if you look at Bridgewater's game and his numbers, 28 of 36 for 264 yards, two touchdowns, no picks, a quarterback rating of 116. Yeah, sign me up for about, 12 more of those. What do you say? It was efficient. He was accurate. Look at the high percentage, completion percentage. I think the thing that impressed me maybe the most was how well he not only manipulated the pocket, scrambled, was able to keep plays alive. There were a couple times where I thought, oh, they're going to sack him, but he was able to either stand in there and get rid of the ball or escape. Very, very cool. Very cool under pressure. No complaints whatsoever. Really, really good debut.
I thought he drove the ball. I thought he hit a dig to, I think, Tim Patrick, where he just stepped up, avoided pressure, stepped to the left, and absolutely threw a strike. And I mean, he put a little mustard on it. He told me, this is going back to last year, he told me that rehab on his leg and on his knee that took 2 years, that rehab, or maybe even more than 2 years, he said his lower body and throwing with his lower body, it got so much stronger and so much better. It really, he throws the ball better now than when he came out of college before the injury in regards to velocity. So, yeah, all that stuff is true, man. He had some, you know, deep corner balls. He had a deep over to Jerry Jeudy. Unfortunately, Jerry Jeudy got hurt on that play. He hit some deep to intermediate passes that were really, really well thrown, really on time. I thought he played exceptionally well. And I will tell you, just the perseverance in the running game, and the thing that I was most impressed with, whether it was Gordon, whether it was Williams, every single run seemed to end up with positive yardage. It puts you in second and eight. It puts you in second and six. It puts you, even when that run looked like it was going to be stopped for no gain, it always seemed that they were sitting with a positive run, and it allowed Pat Shurmur to continue to call the run. And I'll tip my cap to Pat, because sometimes I think he forgets, or sometimes I think, you know, it becomes, you know, let's strike down the football field. Let's see if we can get something good. There were a couple times on second down and 10 where he ran the football, and I thought they were just brilliant decisions. And so for me, I just thought that part of the game plan and adhering to that, you know, when you're talking Williams getting 14 carries, Gordon getting 11 carries, Bridgewater carried the ball three times. You know, that's 28 carries right there compared to 36 passes. It's a pretty nice mixture when all is said and done against, let me just tell you, that is a very good, very formidable defense and a very complicated defense on the back end that Bridgewater picked apart.
264 yards passing, 165 yards rushing for the Broncos. Good balance in game one. So the Broncos get the win. It's a Reaction Monday. Want to hear from you. RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043 is open. Up next, what got into Vic Fangio with all the fourth down calls? Was he coaching with urgency, or was it something else? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
You know, I believe that we can do it. I don't think it's far-fetched like maybe it has been in the past. So when I feel good about it, or my gut's telling me to do it, I'm going to do it.
Vic Fangio did it three times. to Broncos Reaction Monday. Welcome your feedback for the game yesterday. The Broncos 7 of 15 on third down, 3 of 3 on fourth down. And Vic talked more about the decisions to go for it.
It was just my gut. When I brought it up, I didn't have a lot of backing by anybody. It was kind of cricket-ish, cricket-like. I said, we're doing it. So I just felt like I had confidence in the offense, number one, obviously. Number two, I felt that I knew if we got the first down, we could go get some points. Didn't know it would be 3 or 7, and I thought it was important. And the reason I let it run down to 50, I told the guy at 50, he did it at 48. You know, if we didn't get it, just to take a little bit of time off. And we had 3 timeouts, you know, with 2 following that one. And that was it. It was just more of a gut feeling than anything else.
Well, Teddy Bridgewater appreciated the vote of confidence.
Yeah, we really appreciate Coach showing that confidence in us. You talk about coaches believing in players, players wanting coaches to believe in them. That was the ultimate sign of belief right there. I think we had 1 fourth down where we were on our side of the 50, and Coach decided to go for it. I'm looking on the sideline like, yeah, let's do it, because I have nothing but confidence in those guys that take the field for us. But it was good to just see Coach trust us, and we delivered.
All right, Mark, so what got into Vic Riverboat Gambler, especially admitting that it wasn't like he was getting a whole lot of backing on some of these decisions? So what got into him?
Yeah, well, at that time in the game, incredible call. Like, I assumed on the broadcast, I was just like, you go for this? No. I mean, you try to get him to jump off sides, or you just take the delay game penalty and then you punt it, because you're around the 50. When that happened. Well, I think, were they on the opposite
side? They were at the Giant 49.
Giant 49. Like, that is, because at that point, what was the score? 7-3 Giants?
Yes.
I mean, at that point, you turn the ball over there, the Giants have their timeouts, they go down and score, and that's a different deal. I mean, that's a completely different deal. So, just the confidence that he had, the gut feeling that he had, and I think a lot of that, Mike, was, listen, if I'm going to go down, I'm going down swinging.
Yeah.
I am not losing another September game because, you know, I didn't have guts. And I know as a former player, when the coaches go to you and basically say, here it comes, you know, we're going to rely on you on third down. We're going to rely on you guys to run the ball. Or we're going to rely on you on fourth down to convert quarterback. We're going to rely. It just says so much about the confidence you have in your players, and players love that. They respond to that. That is something that really gets them going. So, it's one of those deals where you're like, uh-oh, here we go. Don't do it. Yes. Great call. You know, and it was a phenomenal call. And really, and I made this point in the broadcast during that time, you know, I called it bleeding the clock, the most important thing. And it's been explained to me from a franchise I'm not going to get into who I've been talking to, but when you bleed the clock at the end of the first half, even if you don't score, Mike, even if you don't score, it's as good as getting a turnover. And you've ever seen the percentages of winning the game when you're plus in the turnovers? It's remarkable, right? It's like getting a plus one in a turnover. When you just eat the clock for the last 4 minutes of the first half, your win percentage goes up. It's like 60%. And it's incredible. And so the importance of not only bleeding the clock, but the real time, the Giants did 1 kneel down snap, but the real time that expired between the last drive the Giants had when, you know, they turned the ball over, to the next time the offense got real snaps, was 55 minutes of real time. That's how much time had passed. And you know, I talk about the rhythm of an offense all the time, how important that rhythm is, how important that feel is. You haven't touched the ball for 55 minutes in real time with halftime and everything else, and then the Broncos come right out and eat up an 8.5-minute scoring drive. So, I mean, it's significant in what it does to you as a football team. Just nothing but kudos to the Broncos the way they play
on both sides of the ball. It's the double score thing too. And that's the thing, even if you don't score. No, but it's a great opportunity.
Sure.
And, you know, it's part of the reason why you see so many teams now defer, the opening kickoff, because I think the analytics have proven that the more often you defer, you increase the potential of not only getting the ball to start the second half, but if you're able to also have the ball at the first half, at the end of the first half, the momentum swings are huge. And you saw it. I mean, the Broncos went from down 7-3 to up 17-7 in two possessions.
Yes.
One at the end of the first half, one at the beginning of the second half, and the Giants never recovered from that. And so it was played out perfectly. Hey, listen, everything about yesterday was just that was a blueprint win, right? I mean, you talk about the things that this team needs to do to be able to win and to compete this season. I don't know if there was a box that they didn't check. Was there?
No. And even, you know, even down to special teams with the acquisition of Mike Ford making a big tackle on special teams on a punt return, you know, just the little things, that they did, and they did exceptionally well, and overcame, you know, an early turnover by Alberto. I thought the whole thing, the whole operation was, it couldn't have been much better of an opening weekend for the Broncos.
Time now for your injury report presented by Spine One. Jerry Jeudy left yesterday's game. X-rays were negative. Early indication that it could be an ankle sprain, a high ankle sprain, which, you know, those high ankle sprains are no fun and can keep you out for a while, but it does not appear that it's any kind of knee or anything like that that maybe a lot of us were initially worried about. Also, Bradley Chubb ruled out of yesterday's games with trembling ankles. We'll find out more this week with him. Your injury report presented by Spine One, your one-stop shop for neck, back, and joint pain. All right, we got the Morning Brew coming up next. We'll hear more reaction from the Broncos and go around the NFL. Ugh, maybe we don't want Aaron Rodgers. That's next.
Morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna eat like me, and you're gonna crap thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers, stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues? What?
Orange Mocha Frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy, this is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on! Bridgewater keeps dancing in the backfield. Okwuegbunam's got it. Stays on his feet. Looks for the pylon. Touchdown! A second effort on fourth down from Albert Okwuegbunam. His second career score.
Fox Sports with the call. Adam Amin, Mark Schlereth on the call. So, best part of Teddy Bridgewater's performance was what?
Just his presence in the pocket, Mike. His ability to step up, his ability to slide, to buy himself and create a window to throw the ball into. And then being calm under pressure when things broke down, being calm and not letting that, you know, create a errant throw or a mistake. I just thought that part of Teddy Bridgewater was tremendous, where he just never, ever one time seemed to be rattled at all. I thought that was the most impressive part.
Also, for me, the way that he was able to disperse the ball. Get
9 different receivers.
Yeah, get everybody some touches. That was one of my concerns with all the talent that they have assembled on offense, which is good, but got a lot of mouths to feed. And
hey,
a lot of guys that you want to keep happy, and I think he did a very good job of doing that.
And you know what he told me about that? He goes, sometimes when you have this many weapons, he goes, the only way you kind of feed all those weapons, sometimes you just got to feed them with words. Hey, man, I saw you on that route. You did a really good job. You were wide open. The ball didn't come to you. But, you know, he goes, sometimes you just got to feed them with words. Keep them happy with words. And that's part of the maturity. You know, that's part of the maturity, believe it or not, something that simple that you recognize that as a quarterback and you're like, man, I gotta pump this guy up a little bit. I gotta take care of this guy a little bit because he's busting his butt and he hasn't been rewarded as of yet. 9 different receivers touched the ball yesterday from Teddy Bridgewater.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Daniel Jones under pressure right on cue. Von Miller. A loss of 8 and sack number 107 for Miller.
I loved what you said about Vaughn. You introduced to the broadcast what we'd been talking about all throughout camp, that the best thing you can say about Von Miller is he looks like Von Miller. And what a way to start the season is he comes out with three tackles for loss, and two sacks.
Yeah, I thought it was tremendous off the edge. I mean, just tremendous. And, I mean, Mike, two sacks. Now, one was, you know, the tackle just completely blew the snap count, which was ridiculous, but good. I'm glad that happens to you when you don't have any answers. But what I thought from Vaughn was he got chipped, he got harassed every single play. They had a plan. There were a lot of throws that were just, you know, quick stick routes, 5 yard outs, quick drags out of the backfield. I mean, there were things that require 1 second, you know, just 1.1 second before the ball's out. I don't care if you don't block Vaughn, you're not getting there in 1 second. It's impossible. And so I thought Jason Garrett of the Giants did a good job of trying to mitigate that pass rush, trying to slow it down, and yet Vaughn still very impactful in the game. Two back-to-back drives early in the game. He had that tackle for loss on a running play. Maybe it was an orbit or a jet sweep type of running play where he got hit by three dudes and still created a tackle for loss. And then the very next series got the sack when he beat Nate Solder. I thought he was tremendous. I thought he looked like Vaughn. I was really excited to see, you know, to see that performance from him.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Mahomes will step up against it, moving laterally. Now throws it, looking for it. Tyreek Hill makes the catch, burning the defender, peeling back left, 20, 15, 10, 5, and into the end zone, touchdown! Kansas City, 75-yard touchdown.
I mean, volumes to this team and, like, how much heart and determination that we have.
Yeah. Phenomena.
Got to pay it off.
Yeah. Phenomena. Phenomena. At least it's a good song, right?
It does.
It's catchy. It puts you in a good
Okay. Yeah. Shame on you, Cleveland Browns, who have now lost 17 straight season openers. How about that?
What?
Statistic. Yeah, 17 straight season opening losses for the Browns. And they had the Chiefs on the ropes at Arrowhead, up 22-10 at the half. And even late in the game, final possession, Baker Mayfield had the ball in his hands. Chance to go downfield. He rolled to his left, got, as in the process of getting tripped up, still tried to force a ball that got picked off. Mahomes and the Chiefs. Escape. Maybe other than this game, biggest takeaway from the AFC yesterday for you?
That's a great question. Biggest takeaway for
you? Well, you think about it. For me, I'll tell you what it was. Whatever you want to say, I know the demise of the Pittsburgh Steelers has been talked about.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to watch a lot of that game yesterday while D-Mac and I were doing the pregame show here. That defense still has bite. That defense has bite, and they play special teams. Now, there may be a lot of questions about Big Ben. I get it, but it was kind of sobering knowing the Broncos have to go to Pittsburgh. That Steeler defense is still legit.
Yeah, I think that is, you know, 100% for sure. Obviously, what you talked about with the Chiefs coming back and doing that. I'm just going to stick with the game. Not that this is the biggest kind of takeaway, but the game that I called, I looked at, you know, what Miami did, how New England played, looked at this morning, the way the Jets played with their young quarterback. And, you know, those second tier potential playoff teams that we talked about, Mike, those, you know, the Miamis of the world, dude, they're not coming in here. Like, I think the Denver Broncos are going to be a tough out. I just think I've raised my level of expectation another notch after that game against the Giants. I know a lot of you don't understand, like, because you don't watch the Giants, you don't watch the NFC East, how good that defense, how good and capable that defense is. And to possess the ball, to to drive the ball, to play complementary football, to run the ball and be balanced. That's a task, and they did exceptionally well. I just think I've raised them up. I still think they're a wild card team, but I think I've raised them up a little bit in my book of kind of where they sit.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Jameis under center, takes it back. Straight back in the pocket. He's looking deep. He's looking for Deontay Harris. He's open. And Deontay makes the catch. See you later, bye. Touchdown, Saints.
Saints Radio. Jameis Winston completed only 14 passes. Five of them went for touchdowns. The lowest passing yard total in NFL history when somebody threw five touchdowns in a game. Only 148 yards passing. Doesn't matter. Green Bay gets rolled 38-3. All right, Aaron Rodgers, 15 of 28, 133 yards, no touchdowns, two picks, a quarterback rating of 36.8. He was terrible. Is this a guy who went out and sent a clear message? I don't want to be here. I'm not motivated. I'm not hungry. I am disinterested in playing high-level football for the Green Bay Packers.
Wow. I'm going to say absolutely not. I can't imagine. I can't imagine. Now, you know, maybe it's, maybe it's the lifestyle. Maybe it's the, you know, hanging out with a new fiance and growing man buns and doing all that stuff. But certainly, I mean, he threw two picks in three plays. He had 48 touchdowns and five picks last year. He threw two picks in three throws yesterday. You're going to have to get it together. I can't believe that he would just go out there and do that. But I will say this, you know, it's important. Like the practice, the being out there, the doing those things, even when you're a veteran quarterback, I'll never forget Peyton Manning, who missed a preseason, didn't play well, when he was with Indianapolis, say something to the effect of, I would never disrespect how difficult this game is by acting like I don't need preseason reps. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. And yeah, I think you saw
preseason and offseason.
Yeah.
As he blew off a lot of the offseason as well.
He blew it all off. Yeah, he was too busy. He's too busy hiking in Hawaii or whatever it was he was doing.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Is James Merrillat even won over by Teddy Bridgewater? We'll find out next.
On Sustainably.
DenverFan.com's James Merrillat joins us, presented by Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. James, you are normally very hard to impress and please. Were you happy with what you saw yesterday?
Yeah, of course I was. I don't know that that's a fair assessment of things, Mike. But,
I think I'm spot on.
But yeah, there was not a lot yesterday to be disappointed with, concerned with. I thought the Broncos looked great on both sides of the ball. And, you know, the big question mark heading into the season is what we talked about for months was the quarterback position. And Teddy Bridgewater was great yesterday. His numbers, I mean, you look at it at the end, 28 to 36, 264 and two touchdowns. Like, those are good, but in today's NFL, they don't jump off the page. But I don't think they do justice to the way he played. His ability to extend plays with his feet, buy time, avoid sacks, convert on third down, convert on fourth down. I just thought he was terrific yesterday. So if he can play like that week in and week out and play like that against, you know, better opponents, then this team has a chance to go somewhere because he was really, really good yesterday.
28 of 36 is blasé, 77.8% completion percentage.
I didn't say blasé.
He was incredible. And I just thought his presence was probably one of the biggest things. So I guess what I'm asking for is for you to apologize.
Look, if it goes on for a while, Stink, I will. I'm not going to be that guy that digs in his heels and refuses to admit if he's wrong. I just want to see it over an extended period of time. And here's the thing. The whole debate, whether you're a Drew guy or a Teddy guy, turned into then you were anti the other person. And that was never the case. I never said Teddy couldn't play. My issue and the reason I always wanted to go the Broncos to go with Drew was I look at it from a long-term perspective. And so if Teddy Bridgewater isn't the long-term answer, then I always just looked at it of, well, what's the point? You know, it's the HOV lane to nowhere. So I will apologize as soon as people are ready to give Teddy Bridgewater a long-term contract. When they're ready to do that, then I'll admit I was wrong, and he is the long-term answer. So I think that there's a ways to go for either one of those things to happen. But you're right, Teddy's presence yesterday, he just has a calm about him that is, you know, it, sometimes I think people take that as, you know, he's not, you know, into it. He's not passionate. He's not fiery like you see from other quarterbacks. I think it's just a coolness that impacts the rest of his teammates. And it's funny, too. You see guys when the quarterback is playing well, how other people step up, right? So the touchdown to Albert O, where Teddy Bridgewater made a great play to avoid the sack by some time. I mean, he completes the pass to Albert O at like the 6 or 7 yard line, and the tight end had to do the work to get into the end zone, but it all kind of adds up when your quarterback is playing well. So I thought he was great in every phase. Am I ready to apologize? No, because I don't think I'm wrong yet.
Did this high-priced defense, especially the secondary, did they pass their first test in your eyes?
They did. Look, Daniel Jones is not particularly good, and that offense is brutal. But, hey, you can only play who's on the schedule, and I thought they played really well. Here's the thing that I thought was the biggest thing that they accomplished, and I mentioned this during our halftime chill yesterday on Facebook. The Broncos, they weren't making any – in the first half, it was 10-7 because they weren't making any big plays on either side of the ball. The offense was, you know, just kind of their, you know, dink and dunk, matriculate down the field, and the defense wasn't making anything happen. I thought the key play was the fumble they forced with Daniel Jones, because as well as they had been playing on both sides of the ball up to that point, as much as they had dominated the game, it was about to become a one-score game if the Giants even get a field goal there. So that was big, forcing the fumble, forcing a turnover. It was something they did not do last year when they only had 16 in 16 games, and they didn't seem to have any at big moments and opportune times. So I thought that was huge. I mean, they had a couple of breakdowns and gave up a score, but the one to Jones on the last play of the game was garbage time. The other one by Shepard, look, they're gonna make some plays, but I thought the defense was really, really good.
I did too. I think the other thing, you know, you always talk about a Vic Fangio defense and the way they want to play. And I think one thing was on display yesterday. Even when they made a few mistakes in coverage and things of that nature, it's going to happen. You know, they pay the other guys to all that. But whether it was Darby, whether it was Fuller, whoever it was, the tackling.
Yeah.
On the outside, I thought was, for the most part, it was tremendous and it was physical. And I look at this secondary, I'm thinking coverage skills. You know, there was a time in the fourth quarter where Kyle Fuller defends a touchdown on fourth down to Kenny Galladay, tips it, gets rid of it, and on the next series rolls up and makes a tackle that is just a blistering hit. That's the kind of play you want out of your corners. You want full-time kind of full football plays, and I thought they displayed that on the defensive side, James.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think another guy who falls into that category is, you know, he's going to get a lot of attention today because of his two sacks, and Von Miller looked like Von Miller yesterday with his ability to get after the quarterback. But I think you pointed it out in the first half on a play where he stretched a running play out all the way to the sideline, and I don't even think he made the tackle at the end of the day, but he made the play.
He took three guys on that particular play. Go ahead.
Yep. So I thought his ability to play against the run, we were all critical of him a couple of years ago because he was taking plays off, and a lot of it was in those kind of situations. You know, when it was third and eight and he had a chance to go do what he likes to do, he wasn't taking those plays off, but he was taking, you know, first and 10 or second and three or things where it's a running situation. Those were when he seemed to be, you know, not playing up to his ability. I thought his play against the run yesterday was just as good as his ability to get after the quarterback. So you're right. Their corners were tackling, which, you know, normally isn't the thing you talk about. It's Von Miller playing against the run, not normally something you talk about. I thought the defense came out and just was as good as you can be against the pass, against the run. They were terrific.
All right, James, good stuff. Good to hear you so optimistic and upbeat. Let's see how long that continues.
Thank you, fellas. It was fun.
James Merrillat, DenverFan.com's own James Merrillat, joining us, presented by Old Chicago Pizza and Taproom. It is a Reaction Monday. Everyone always in a better mood after a Broncos victory. Want to hear from you on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. And is Mark ready to do with Teddy Bridgewater what he was with a former Bronco quarterback? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.